guests for this evening include Humphrey Bogart, Adrian Ames, and Miss Rose Bampton. And here's Bing Crosby.
You couldn't be cuter, plus that you couldn't be smarter, plus that intelligent face, you have a disgraceful charm for me. You couldn't be keener, you look so fresh from the cleaner, you are the little grand slam I'll bring to my family. My ma will show you an album of me that'll bore you to tears. And you'll attract all the relatives we have got for years and years. And what'll they tell me? Exactly what'll they tell me? They'll say you couldn't be nicer, couldn't be sweeter, couldn't be better, couldn't be smoother, couldn't be cuter, baby, than you are.
I hear people talking about Bing. Well, I just have to rush to his defense.
Oh, now don't tell me those lazy daisy shirts helping his defense.
They sure do.
Well, it seems to me they'd contribute more toward his conviction.
All right, go ahead. Cut me up, fellas. I should worry, I should fret, I should bury a suffragette.
Oh, quiet, quiet, crooner. I'm taking over this joint. Now go on, Burns, tell me more about these shirts. I think I'm going to like it around here.
Well, as I was saying, Bogey, a lot of times I've had to rush to Bing's defense like I'm doing now. And I say to people, I say, quote, now listen here, you. I say, no matter what else you say against Crosby, them shirts he wears proves that he certainly ain't a vain man.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But you know, I got an idea me and the boys could develop that shirt.
You honestly think you could ever develop it to a point where it would grow a tail?
Sure, with a little careful grafting and crossbreeding. You thought I didn't know what you were talking about, eh? Well, I didn't hide out for 6 months with a bunch of hay bags without learning something. But I'm back in a racket again, see? And get this. I'm going to develop that shirt commercially, see?
You mean we're all going to make some money?
I mean I am.
How?
I'm going to get a couple of pictures of that shirt, see? And have a couple of expert shirt makers analyze it. When I get it all doped out, I'm going to jam it down the throat of every guy in this country.
You mean you're going to make the public eat Bing shirts?
And like it. Why, they clean up on things like the Madge Evans hat and the Shirley Temple dress.
Yeah, but who in the world would have a shirt like that besides Crosby?
You leave that to me. If the public weren't interested in buying outlandish things, Bob. See, why do you think they bought so many of those baby bazookas of yours?
Take five, Robin. Now, you really think that these comfy little smocks of mine have got a chance to catch public fancy, Bogey?
Oh, why, Bing, they're just too adorable for words. Why, they certainly would catch the public fancy, Bing.
Yeah, they'd leave the public even fancier.
Button up, Burns, button up. I've had enough of your lip. Now, get this, Crosby. You wear those kind of shirts all the time, don't you?
Practically live in them.
Yeah, that's great. I'll make those shirts a national institution.
Well, how do you know I'd like living in an institution?
Well, you live in those shirts, don't you? Now, stand off there and let me look at you. Now, turn around. Around again, Bing.
What?
That's right. That's great. Now, besides the shirts, I'll bring out a line of little statues of you actually wearing one of them.
Yeah, they'd make awful cute paperweights.
Sure, and so? Say, what doll working in an office could resist having Crosby sitting on a desk all day?
Take a letter.
Bogey!
Bogey, I think you got something there, and you can count me in on it. As an old carnival man, I want to tell you Bing in bronze would go like hotcakes in every hook, lock, concession on the road. Sort of from Cupid to Crosby in one generation.
Yeah, but on second thought, bronze is out. I just got a better idea. We'll make them in rubber for the kids to tease on. You know, sort of put the bite on Crosby.
Yeah, and them little soap statues you see in all the drugstore windows ain't bad either.
Hey, pardon me, man. My name's Crosby. I just fell off a load of pumpkins. Hey, do you actually think there's a market for these startling little novelties that you guys are dreaming up?
Market? Yeah, look at the public wear, though. Look at the way the public goes for Charlie McCarthy dolls. Or Dopey. See, what's Dopey got that you ain't got?
Yeah.
Why, the two biggest sellers in novelty feed today, food today, field. I got it. I say, as I was saying, how could you miss?
Yeah, and if I want to tell you an idea, now, if they want to carry it out a little bit further, you could make a set of them soap statues of Bing's horses in action, you know. That's the only way Bing's horses will ever get up a lather.
You were stalling around reaching for. Cut that one out of the picture. Of course, I'm just flattered to death, fellas, by all this adulation. I don't have to tell you. I really don't know what to say. Honestly, Bogey, when you accepted our casual invitation to drop around to the hall this evening, I never dreamed it was going to open up a whole new field of operation for the Crosby Enterprise.
Well, who said anything about the Crosby Enterprise? It's quiet. My sales force will handle the whole deal.
Well, of course, if you have a ready-made sales organization, I might as well...
I've got everything taken care of. The livest, smartest, hardest-hitting sales force in the country. And I ought to know. Every one of them went through crime school with me.
Sounds like a nice bunch of kids. Anybody we know?
The Dead End Kids. Milty, Angel, Bilty, Billy, Dippy, TB, and Spitz.
No Stinky? Nice clean cup for boys.
Yeah, to put those Crosby dolls over so fast the novelty stores won't know what hit them.
How?
Well, the same way we sold the studs back in 23.
You do?
Get him out of here, will you?
Skiddo, but you boys got plenty of skids in there.
Get him out of here.
Careful of that bogeyman, Robin. Now, Bogart, before we do any business with this sales force of yours, just what are your methods? Give us a look.
Well, I'll show you. Now, supposing you're a guy named Mogadorum.
I'm Mogadorum.
You're Mogadorum. Owns a little novelty store in East Anaheim.
Hmm?
Now, one of my boys, let's say Dippy or Spit.
Make it Spit. Okay.
We'll make it Spit. One of my boys named Spit walks in and says, your name Gadorum?
That's me.
Well, listen, Gadarum, who are you getting your Crosby dolls from?
Crosby dolls? Well, I wouldn't carry those things. I had a few of them, but the termites get into them. I had to feed them to the goats.
To feed them to the goats?
Okay.
I'm in a little party tonight, and I thought they'd make me such cute favors. Oh, dear, what am I going to do now? Oh, Mr. Gadarum, what am I going to do? I suppose I'll just have to call the whole thing off.
Oh, on the contrary, sir. If you have a party problem, perhaps the head of our party department might be able to make some suggestions. Just have a seat, and I'll call him, Mr. Carpenter, Mr. Carpenter!
You called me, Mr. Gadarum?
Yes, Mr. Carpenter. There's an emergency case that I wish you'd talk to.
Well, I'd be glad to, Mr. Gadarum.
Then I'll leave the whole matter in your hands, Carpenter. Just step over there and talk to him, will you? If you're planning a party one of these days, you'll almost surely be serving a salad. Get a jar tomorrow. I gave my heart away, oui, oui, chérie, at a perfume counter, on the Rue de la Paix. The flowers that are there in gay Paris encouraged me to care, oui, oui, chérie, at a perfume counter, on the Rue de la Paix. The conversation was blended with romance in May. But your vacation soon ended and you went away. If you remember this, come back to me and say it with a kiss. We wish, chérie, at a perfume counter. On the Rue de la Conversation was blended with romance in May, but your vacation soon ended and you went away. If you remember this, come back to me and say it with a kiss. We wish you at a perfume counter.
Although a palpable bullseye on the spring semester's hit parade, friend, the introduction of At a Perfume Counter into the syllabus of this evening's course at KMH was not without a couple of ulterior motives. First, we might as well admit we had the arrangement left over from 2 weeks ago. And second, as many of you may have heard, the fashion for naming perfumes after screen favorites is at present right on the upbeat. Already, I'm told, there's a Deanna Durbin perfume, and more must inevitably follow. In fact, my operators inform me that even now our friend Burns is engaged in a slight dicker with a famous perfumer who wants to market a Bob Burns perfume to be called Oh, Scheherazade de la Figure 5 Spouille. This is a sort of a
delicate,
Roger. Combining the fragrance of newly mown alfalfa with bear grease, saddle soap, the distant rooting of hogs, and just the suggestion, a mere spoonful of,
Thank you, Johnny. If I don't talk pretty soon here, you'll run out of what you've got orchestrated over there. I want to thank you, Johnny, for that introduction, but before I talk any further, I just want to take time out here to apologize to Bing for the way we guide him about the shirt. I didn't mean anything by it, Bing, and a lot of people listening in will probably think Bing's shirt looks terrible. The people here in the music hall know. But, you know, there's a reason why people... Of course, I want to tell the people before I go any further, the shirt don't look bad at all. It really doesn't look bad, but I still think it would look better hanging on a neck. But, you know, there's a reason for everybody, for every style, and there's always a reason why styles change. Now, the women back home in Van Buren would still be wearing bustles today if they hadn't put a revolving door in the post office. The door just couldn't take it. But now, you know, there's Bing has one good reason for wearing a shirt like that. And that is, you know, Bing realizes that if you dress up pretty and look nice, you have to go around parading in front of people, and it takes you out, and you mix, and takes you away from home, and that's bad in our business. And the way Bing dresses, it just gives him one more excuse for hiding out. Now, the people down home, it's clothes like mine that's having an evil influence, a bad influence on the people down home. Now, ever since the men folk down there saw me in pictures and saw the way I dress, they've started dressing the same way. They started dressing up, and they want to be on the go all the time, getting out in public. And they're so finicky about the way they look, they keep a damp rag hanging up there at the door so they can swap their celluloid collar off on the way out. But it's the women in the family that's really been hit hard. It's gone overboard about style. These Hollywood styles, and especially my cousin Lopie. Now, there's a girl that was always so quiet and retiring before these styles came out, before she tried to be one of these Hollywood glamour girls. And she's even changed her talk now. Her speech is so affected, I can hardly understand what she's talking about. She says, "you all" instead of "you." There's a girl that was so retiring, and she never would even look at a boy, wouldn't talk to a boy at all, unless she was just raised with it. And now that since she started dressing up like that, she's changed. So she came out here to see me not long ago, and the first day she was here, she came home that night with her bonnet string tied with a sailor's knot. That's a little too subtle. That's really... I'll tell you, I have to think over that myself. You know, she insisted on me taking her to the Trocadero. And my, how that girl did dress up to go over there. She had a blue alpaca dress kind of cut on the bias. And she wore a peekaboo waist. You don't have to look at me like that. She wore a camisole. And so she went up there, and she had her hair pulled back in the back and done with a little psyche in the back. And she wore long earrings. She wore long earrings that hung down like chandeliers. And she wanted to show off up there. And there's a girl now that never drank anything but milk in her life. But do you think she drank milk up at the Trocadero? No, sir. She ordered pot after pot of coffee.
And the reason she ordered that coffee is because she just liked it with those long earrings. She thought it sounded tony to have those earrings kind of dangle against the saucer when she drank her coffee. Now, you women can laugh if you want to, but I'm telling you, it's almost pathetic the way that you wear styles. You make suffering and everything go through anything just to be inside. There's one woman sitting right down there, right this minute, that's got 18 buttons on one glove. 18 buttons on one glove. And I'll bet her old man is sitting home right now trying to hold his pants up with a rusty nail.
Well, last week when I was up here, I wanted to get in. I told the people that I was trying out for membership in the United Hot Clubs of America, and Johnny Trotter and his boys kind of laughed at me. Tonight, I'm going to call their bluff. I want to do a little jamming here tonight, Johnny, and I just want to see if you boys can follow me. I don't believe you can do it. Go ahead and play that number that I heard you rehearsing this afternoon. Give it to
only
to drink the whole Green River dry to get back home to you.
Sing, Crosby. whisper I love you while we're romancing. Let me murmur low. We're meant for each other.
She now finds her time entirely filled with her work in Adrian as well. I guess maybe it'd be better to let her explain what she's working on at present.
Yeah, it sure would. What are you doing, Adrian? It's got being so confused.
I'm renting houses.
There you are, Bob. How could I ever hope to phrase it so concisely, so simply and directly as Adrian just did? She's renting houses. Now, even you should immediately understand exactly what she means.
I do. She means she's gone into the real estate business.
Oh, I'd hardly call it that, Bob. I'm renting the houses for myself.
How many are you renting?
Just two.
Of course, I hate to be nosy, but what in the world do you want with two houses?
I don't want two houses, Bob. But you see, I'd be bound to lose money if I rented one house without renting the other.
This is the first indication I've had that the double feature dodge has hit the real estate market.
But do you know what she's talking about, Ben?
I do not.
Well, then it makes two of us.
Really, I think you two men are just playing dumb to confuse me.
Oh, no, we don't have to play it. What do a couple of round haircuts like Burns and me know about the intricacies of modern-day real estate transactions?
Well, it seems to me anyone should be able to understand this. I'm renting a house in order to be able to live in the house I'm renting.
Now, we're getting to you own two houses, huh?
No, I only own one house.
Well, then why don't you live in it and save us all this trouble?
I am living in it. That's why I want to rent it.
Now, so far, I think I've got it. You're renting the house you're living in.
In order to live in the house I'm renting.
But you just said you own the house you're renting.
And you said you're living in the house you own.
Exactly, but that house is too big for me to live in all alone, so I'm renting the small one.
If the house you're living in is too big, why not rent the big one and live in the little one?
Now you've got it. That's just exactly what I want to do.
But how can you live in the small one if you're renting it?
Now listen carefully and I'll go through it all again.
Here we go.
I'm renting a house in order to be able to live in the house I'm renting.
Oh, wait a minute now. You're renting the small house. Small house can't live in the big house. No. Yeah, that leaves the small house where the big house was and the big house for rent. So if you rent the big house...
I got it.
What? Let's forget the whole deal.
I'd be glad to. Trying to explain a simple little economic principle to you two dreamers seems harder than trying to find a tenant for the big house.
Well, now, maybe it'd be easier to find a tenant for the small house.
Oh, I'm not having any trouble finding a tenant for the small house, but she can't pay the rent unless I rent the big house.
You can take full credit for starting this whole thing over again, Bert.
Yeah, well, now, it seems like every time I open my mouth and put my foot in.
Let's see you do it.
I can't show you how it's done here in front of all these people, Adrian, but if you'd like to come out to the house sometime and have my little daughter Barbara give you a demonstration, boy, she's good at it.
Where is your house, Bob?
Out in Bel Air.
Do you own it or rent it?
Well, me and the government sort of go and have it in order...
I see. I didn't mind to mean to pry into your personal business. I just happened to think if you were renting your house, you might like to rent mine, and then I could move into the house I'm renting.
This round is on the house, friend. Everybody come up.
Doggone it, I ain't going any further with this rent and talk till I found out what it's all about.
Well, shall we grill her, Bob?
Well, she's a little bit too pretty to grill, Bing, but maybe we could singe her a little around the edges just to make her talk sense.
Maybe we better.
Oh, yes, the KMH District Court of Appeals number one is now in session. Judge Burns presiding.
The court will now come to order. Quiet, quiet, you people. I declare you people in this courtroom got to be quiet. I've had to sentence the last five people without hearing a word of testimony. Now, that's better. The prosecution will now proceed with the case.
Take the stand, Miss Ames. You swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you?
I'm not the one who needs help. You're the one.
Order in the court, please. Now, confine yourself to answering the prosecutor's question, Miss Ames.
Now, as I understand it, you're renting two houses.
I'm glad you got that much straight.
I object, Your Honor, and move that the remark be stricken from the records as irrelevant, immaterial, and frowning on the radical task.
Objection sustained, but not understood.
Now, one of those houses you've already rented. The other one you hope to rent. Is that correct?
Perfectly.
Where do you propose to live when the second house is rented?
In the first house.
But you just said you're renting it.
If I weren't, would the owner let me live in it?
Then you do not own the first house you're renting.
If I owned it, why would I be renting it?
But you do own one of the houses you're renting.
Certainly. How could I rent it if I didn't own it?
Maybe we could settle this thing out of court, though. Judge Burns. Oh, Burns.
Oh,
Judge, I hate to bother you, but I'd like to move for a short recess. Do you mind?
Doggone it, did you wake me up just to tell me you're going?
Recess granted?
Yes, sir, granted.
Okay, now let's get this straight once and for all, Adrian. What's going to play with these two houses?
Honestly, I don't understand what's so complicated about all this. Surely you can understand if I rent the house which I own in Beverly Hills, I'll be able to move into the smaller one in Cheviot Hills, which I've rented for the summer.
Yeah, but will them people in Cheviot Hills' house like to have you move in with them?
I've rented the Cheviot Hills house from a real estate company. There's nobody living in it. I can move in any time I want to. But I don't want to until I find a tenant for my Beverly Hills home.
Why didn't you say that in the first place?
I did.
You did not.
I did, too.
Oh, you're a big storyteller. You did not.
Why don't you two kids step into the big gym and fight it out while I adjourn to the music room for a few quiet moments of relaxation?
Oh, why can't we fight out here in the music room?
Because, as you well know, Robin, Rose Bampton's going to be singing. Against all the traditions of the home, have any arguing going on when the Bamp gives throat to a ditty. Now, take Adrian into the big gym, thank her as graciously as you can for dropping in this evening, and then battle out that rent and question to your heart's content. By her presence in the old class music hall this evening, our friend Rose Bampton of the Metropolitan Opera Company proves that she's indeed a gal of courage. Gad, what courage, what spunk. She's proven herself well worthy to be known among us KMHers as the battling Bamp from the Met. But this makes the sixth time that Rose has permitted herself to become involved in the curious didos and the doodlings of these Thursday evening soirees in the hall. There's been no coercion, mind you, each time she's come of her own free will and volition for its right consideration, of course. And so, as she stands now, one lap ahead of the entire field of KMH alumni, we doff our hats to the courageous Rose Bamp. Keep them off as she sings a showstopper from Puccini's Tosca. The title is roughly Visi d'arte, visi d'amore. You scrape the sauce scallopina off the top of that, and you get right down to Love and Music, These I Live For. I don't know how they got that out of Visi d'arte, visi d'amore. But then the picture Guna Guna turned out to mean love potion, so it just goes to show you, it's everybody for himself. But enough of this idle musing. Miss Rose Bampton, accompanied by Theodore Paxton, singing Visi. So forth.
Rose Bampton.
very lovely, Rose.
That was very, very lovely, Rose. Very lovely indeed.
Thank you very much, Ding. It's always such a pleasure to sing here.
Just a minute, sister. Jiggers, Rose, Jiggers. It's Killer Bogart. I'll stay right where you are, sister. Now, as I understand it, Crosby, this doll represents the Metropolitan Opera Mark.
Well, that is...
Now, don't stall, do you, or don't you?
Well, I hardly say I represent them. You see, I...
Well, you're with them, ain't you?
Well, yes.
Well, that's all I wanted to know. Who are you getting your coloratures from? Because from now on... Because from now on, you're taking them from me, see?
Listen, Slantface.
Slantface?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. And keep your hands out of your pockets, see?
Okay, sister.
Now, get this. A wise guy tried to muscle in on the Met not long ago, and his friends found him 2 days later lying in a ditch with his lunch basket, pumped so full of Luftpaus that it took a CPA 6 days to count him. Now, Slam.
Okay, sister, okay.
I tell you.
Okay, sister. Well... We certainly told that guy where to get off, huh, boy?
Yeah, boy, we sure did.
Undaunted by the Bogart menace, Rose Bampton, assisted by the Trotter and Paul Taylor group, sings Stars in My Eyes. Miss Bampton.
My song has wings, it kind of sings, and on a thought beam. My cheeks are glow, in ocean flow like sunlight on a sea. My step is gay along my river, all the bloom of my sea. I love the rain, I being change. I like is now complete. In my eyes, how I feel. For this tender passion is real. I am lost. I am
the house committee just means that the bars are down.
Well, good luck to you at your concert tomorrow night in Pasadena. As long as you've broken training tonight anyway, I'd like you to put the listen on Trotter as he marshals his minions through the stirring trains of the toy trumpet. You're on, John Scott. I've led you a cue. Go ahead and trumpet.
What I do,
guide me. Now at last, I have my dream beside me. I fell in love. What else could I do? There's love lies in the starlight with you.
Well, friends, it begins to look like we got this Thursday hour and the old crap music all whittled down to a pretty fine point. Is anything left? We're stuck with it. Thanks for hanging on while we dallied thus long with the assorted trivia of the hall. If you're not already booked up for next Thursday evening, we'd like to have you with us again. Same time the meeting took up tonight, over and above Trotter and his tribe, Ken Carpenter, the Paul Taylor Group, and your humble correspondent, we're happy to advise we're going to have with us three of our most valued alumni, Edward Everett Horton, our old friend Eddie, Miriam Hopkins, and Alec Templeton. Next Thursday, then?
Just a minute, Crosby. Who are you getting your guests from? Because from now on, you're taking them from me, see?
Yes, sir, Bogie. I'll give you a ring. Good night, all.
The Kraft Music Hall, announced by Ken Carpenter, comes to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.